Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scouts' weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm Ryan from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. Today, I'm joined by FPL Mark to discuss all that happened in Game Week 10 and look ahead to Game Week 11. How are you doing, Mark? And how did Game Week 10 go for you?
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Doing okay, thanks. It was 71 points in Game Week 10, so it was a small rise from 818K to 724K, so a little bit. If it wasn't for that Salah goal late on against Forest, it would have been a red arrow, which, looking at the fixtures going into Game Week 10, was really having high hopes for that. Mm-hmm. So a red arrow would have been annoying, but it turned out okay. I think the Game Week 8 wild card has had three small rises, which, you know, over time adds up to a decent rise.
Yep.
But it's just frustrating when you see everybody else's and everyone else posts their scores teams, after the final match, and they've got Mbeumo and they've got Diaby and whatnot, and they didn't mess up the captain because all 3 weeks had Salah, Son, Haaland, and got the captain wrong every time. You think if only that was right, it would have been about 20 points better off. Sold Madison for Saka. They both got the same score. They both got 6. Gabriel, the Arsenal centre back. It's the torture continues with him. I feel like we've got this sort of feud going on that he doesn't know about. It's just those first two game weeks had him when he was benched, brought him back in game week 8 wild card, didn't play him for his Man City clean sheet, started him for the first time today.
Benched,
of course. The only thing is, there was a bit of luck.
Yeah.
Because he and Udogi didn't play, and then Charlie Taylor came in.
There we go. Yeah.
So actually, this time it sort of did go okay. Yeah, but for the future, it's like, oh, so he's not nailed now.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I think it was a resting that I'm thinking. But we'll see. Maybe next game we'll know. If he doesn't start against Newcastle, then
because it's a tougher one for him, he probably will start. I think there's a quote from Arteta going around where it really was purely just looking at the minutes.
Yeah, they played in international
and club and went, well, it's his time. Like Odegaard as well. Mm. So if that is the reason, then okay, that's a bit better. Mm. Like he's had his rest now, gotten away with it with Charlie Taylor. Let's get him back in the lineup now, please.
Yeah, as long as he's playing that Burnley game, then okay. Yeah. Exactly. So anyways.
Exactly. How was your week?
Red arrow on a wild card. But I think looking at my team, I think it's still good for next week. It's just that it's a game week of like differentials. Unfortunately, I sold Sun and Mbeumo, so that hurt. I was on the Haaland armband until the deadline, and I switched on the deadline to Salah because I was so confident. I was like, this has happened before. Being a United fan, and I've seen this before where popular captains arise with the same time when United play like a popular captain, and it always goes wrong. And it went wrong this time as well. Luckily for me, I think the score wasn't like Haaland could have gotten so much more than what he got. And thankfully, the rank wasn't as bad because not many people captain Haaland compared to previous weeks where either Salah or Haaland is hugely captain and your game week just gets destroyed and your season also gets derailed. This time it didn't happen. So it was a small red arrow. But yeah, it's a game week of differentials. Take it, and I guess I move. Let's see how it goes.
You're right about the Haaland captaincy, actually, because I was also pretty close with doing it, because I'm quite a safe manager sometimes. Mm. So when you look around effective ownership, sort of the EO numbers, mm. and like feels like if you own Haaland but don't captain him, he's going to have such a high EO that you're going to be cheering against him. And I just thought, I don't want to be cheering against, that's one more player.
Yeah, exactly.
On top of like Alvarez, Matoma, etc. It's one more player to cheer against. It's just safer to go with Haaland.
Yeah.
But then it became obvious that so many were captaining Salah that the EO for Haaland was pretty down.
Yeah. But for me at my rank, is Haaland was still the most captained compared to Salah.
Yeah, probably overall it probably was. Mm. It just depends about local rank and stuff like that. And I know for me is Haaland's EO was like 102%. So okay.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Yeah, that's fair enough.
This might be the week to go against him, and it was the wrong decision. Yeah. Wasn't it?
For me, I was like Haaland is like the, at least in my head, I was like, I don't know, it was probably because of like post problems, like United, being a United fan and like having seen all that right happen every week, every year. So I thought he was the best captain. But then, like I mentioned, right, there were so many captaincy options that appeared this week that so many people were like going to Watkins, going to Saka, Salah. So it kind of brought Haaland's EO down. So because the damage wasn't that bad in that way, it was a risk worth taking, I guess.
Yeah, and there's a lot of logic in it. You know, this week's Salah and Haaland both have.
Yeah. Oh, it'll really be an interesting question. I have that, yeah. So we'll discuss that at the end. But yeah, that's another big decision coming this week as well. Let's start with the Manchester derby. So Haaland is usually showing why the idea of selling him comes with its fair share of risk as he outscores all the public captains for the week. For those who have sold him, do they just stick to their plan of like getting him maybe in like a game week 16 or something and ride out the next couple of fixtures, or do they look to get him back?
Well, the Haaland sellers have picked their side. They've committed to that side. So in the same way that Haaland's blanks shouldn't cause managers to get rid of him, his haul doesn't mean non-owners should get him back. I feel like, because it's points chasing now, because he's already done that, he's already caused that damage. So you got to look forward, although it's hard to stick to that logic sometimes. But I think when you commit to not having Haaland, you know this is going to happen. Like these hauls are inevitable. You know he's probably going to get 30 goals this season. Like this isn't used to them. It's about those about Haaland didn't do so because they lost faith in his scoring rate. It's because they think that Alvarez can cover him.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Alvarez does wonders elsewhere. And it was a surprise to not see Alvarez score, because he has been matching him a bit lately. So, but by spreading that money elsewhere and you know, getting in Trippier and, you know, having a strong five-man midfield, it's really difficult to buy Haaland back now.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people probably went to like a 3-4-3 as well. So you have your Alvarez to cover Haaland, and then they have Watkins and maybe a Darwin Nunes as well. So I guess that's where people are getting their points from as well.
Yeah, that's it. So if you sacrificed Haaland and got Darwin in instead, you've still done all right there, because Darwin's had a good week. So it'd be very hard to get him back. And at this point, maybe just stick to your decision, perhaps.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess even though the next game is Bournemouth, the games after that are a bit more harder. So I guess you kind of, like you mentioned, like stick to your decision, see how it goes, ride it out. You still have good players in those other positions with that money. And then maybe just get him back in like 16 or something when their fixtures become better.
Yeah. Because if you've gone for Alvarez instead of Haaland, you could also say Alvarez at home to Bournemouth.
Yes, exactly.
That's also great.
Yeah.
So maybe both of them, yes. But like, as long as you have one of them against Bournemouth,
You should it's be fine.
Something hopefully. To look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then with regards to United players, even with the next set of fixtures looking good on paper, is it even worth keeping them or just sell?
Well, I used to own Fernandes and Rashford for the first 7 game weeks, and looking back at that, I'd say probably not worth keeping them. Yeah. The faith is just gone, absolutely gone. And okay, they do have good fixtures coming up, but so do Liverpool and so do West Ham and Brighton and Arsenal. We can't own all the midfielders with good fixtures, so at least own the ones that have any shred of form at all. Because you got Salah, there's Bowen there, maybe Matoma, Saka. The Spurs guys are in form regardless of fixture. So personally, I would probably not keep them.
Yeah,
but the fixtures are good.
Yeah, so. I think I would sell, because even if we like on paper it looks good, out of those three, like Fulham, Luton, and what, Everton, I think Everton and Fulham might be two tough ones, given that both of them are away. And we've seen Everton also like win against West Ham. They can kind of low block defense, stifle you. And we've seen Brighton also now struggle against Fulham. So I think given how United are playing right now, it's probably two tough games for them compared to...
You're right. I think instinctively we look at those names and think easy game, but it's not.
Yeah.
For those reasons that you said, like Everton... Everton seem fairly competent.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They're not that bad, actually. And yeah, it was just seen Fulham. They're starting to sort of show, like last season when they finished mid-table, that they're okay, actually. And they've kept a few clean sheets a few weeks ago in a row. They've just denied Brighton. Yeah. They could be...
Yeah.
Those aren't particularly easy.
Yeah, so. Exactly. That's the thing. Okay, so definitely sell. Okay, Liverpool beat Forest 3-0, and Salah a bit fortunate again, I would say, to get a goal. I don't know what, maybe Matt Turner had Salah in his FPL team, but Darwin and Szoboszlai, they were the ones who kind of stepped up and looked great in the game. So with Luton up next, would it be worth tripling up on Liverpool?
Well, let's see the... Probably the wrong time to say this because he has just hauled, but I see the online popularity of Darwin and I just don't think I'll ever own him unless Liverpool get decimated by injuries, because there's always that, admittedly, like 9 returns in only 450 minutes is just amazing.
Yeah.
It's like outrageous. So that is good. But he's alternating starts. Like he's like one in, one out all the time. And I just think, there's enough things to be nervous about elsewhere in FPL, especially with Gabriel now. There's enough things to be nervous about that you at least want guaranteed starters elsewhere. But yeah, on the flip side to that, when he comes on, you've seen him come on as a substitute and return quite a lot as well. So like when he starts, he's like, he's an amazing asset.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's the minutes. It's the... You are uncertain on minutes with regards to him. Yeah, will he start or will he not start? But Szoboszlai, 7 million. Is he someone we could think about as a, like maybe a fifth midfield option?
He's showcasing his brilliance. Szoboszlai, he's really good. What a signing. Certainly, like, away from the world of, you know, FPL, just looking at it as a footballing signing, really, really good. And yeah, Liverpool look very comfortably like they're going to finish in the top four this season already after a bit of an off year for them. And it's hard to tell if it's in an FPL way because he is sort of on set pieces, right?
Yes.
Like he's amongst it. I don't know, he's of a similar price to like goal scorers, like Bowen, Diaby, and Bumo, whereas I think has he scored any yet, or have there just been assists?
Good question. I think he's got one, I'm not mistaken. Let me have a look.
Yes, one One goal, four assists.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is still fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're chasing the fixtures, he could be away. That's certainly an attacking double up. That could work totally. And then in terms of defense, yeah, someone like Tsimikas, sort of people who have jumped onto Tsimikas, it's really paid off. So well done to those managers, because there was always the slight doubt. Klopp did make a comment about needing multiple people to fill in for Robertson, like he needs that. So that immediately sort of made you take a step back and think, oh, right, well, okay, you're going to get Gomez at left back in one of those two games. But it didn't happen, hasn't happened yet. So, but now that you've missed out on two Tsimikas clean sheets, is it too late? That Luton game.
Maybe the Luton game, but then after that, they got Brentford and City. So those two are not ideal.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And then Fulham, you know, as we just seen there, they look competent as well.
Yeah.
So, don't know, maybe the moment's gone to get a defender, but certainly attacking wise.
Yeah.
A second name like Szoboszlai or Darwin. Yeah, it does make sense. I think they're a really good team, Liverpool.
Okay. Yeah, I think there is probably some worth in that double up on the attack, Liverpool attack, because they will score goals. And they currently are scoring goals. So I think that's kind of worth it. If you can get there, that is. Because I know a lot of people are stuck with budget in terms of trying to own Haaland, Watkins, and Salah. And then you're like trying to fit in Saka and everyone. So you're tight on budget. But if you can get there, I don't mind it. That's the thing. Okay, let's move into the Wolves. They drew 2-2 with Newcastle, with Neto suffering from an injury. Looking like he might be out for a few weeks. Where would you recommend owners look to go for as a replacement? And I think you have Neto, don't you?
Yeah. I do. And what you're saying there about sort of having to squeeze in all those assets, all those bigger named assets, sort of Neto was there as the cheap maid. So like, you know, if it was possible to make him as Szoboszlai, that would be nice, but I just don't have the money. We've just published a scout article on Neto replacements, because it's the exact same issue I'm facing. Honestly, I'm not fully sold on any of the cheap midfielders, which is annoying. Like Anthony Gordon plays for a strong team, and you know, as a Newcastle fan, he is much improved this season. Like he's looking a lot better, but the mixed opponents, coming up, there's so many injuries at the club at the moment that is there isn't really a threat of rotation. Like Joe Linton's needed in the centre, Barnes is injured. He's probably still slightly in the lead of the other candidates, but there's still a downside to that. Cole Palmer, I think he needs open play goals and good fixtures before I make a move, because I think both his goals both been penalties, right?
Yeah.
With that Sterling Enzo discussion, you know, could there be an Arsenal situation going on with penalties? We don't know yet. And then that's all it's been, and nothing in open play. Jordan Ayew is interesting. I mean, that's a very unglamorous one, and I feel like it's not just a reaction that was goal at the weekend as well. I feel like there's so many times where I've looked at Jordan Ayew and thought, he's a goal scorer. And then you look at his record and it's like, he doesn't. Does he?
Yeah, exactly. But his fixtures are like, okay, Burnley, Everton and Luton in the next three.
An exception could be made this time because those fixtures are so good.
Yeah.
Like they really are so good. Palace, as a team, seem to do be attacking them, are a bit worse about Eze there. That's the thing. But it could be. I even thought of potentially, we've got two free transfers this week, like potentially changing to 3-4-3 and getting a cheap third striker. Like, but that's too late for Nketiah, who we're going to get onto later. But, you know, even like Edouard for those Palace fixtures or something like that. But those Palace fixtures are hard to ignore. I think what puts me off Adingra at Brighton is just the rotations. I mean, I know Solly March is injured for a while, but De Zerbi has such faith in his squad, which, you know, is a good thing in general, but it's not good for us.
Yeah, if FPL, rotation. Yep.
We'd have no qualms in benching any of them at any time. Like even someone like Matoma, whose minutes have mostly been good, like you can't relax with him because it could come at any time. And Dinga too. So out of those at a similar price, a replacement, probably Gordon. Yeah, Gordon, Ayu, Adingra, one of those three.
His teammate, Hwang Hee-chan, do we think he might be playing a bit wider, or will that be similar prices?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a fair point. I mean, sideways transfers that do seem to be, you know, they never fancy that, but his form is, it's crazy how many goals he's got and his low ownership. Like, I think there might be a feeling that the people think it's unsustainable. I think when you look at his, I think he scored six goals and he's had six shots on target.
Yeah.
The season. So you see that and think, well, okay, until a few games ago, he wasn't even getting that many minutes.
Yeah,
it was
true.
Sort of like from, he was scoring, but from cameos. So it felt a bit sort of fluky, and Wolves were so low scoring last season. Yeah. So that's on the mind as well. But in fairness, this time they're sort of mid-table for goals, and Hwang is definitely doing it. But then the flip side of that is he's just lost their creative
outlet.
For a couple of weeks. That's the thing with Neto. It sounds like it's only a few weeks, as you say, and it'd be a massive shame to miss him for the Sheffield United game, because that was kind of a big part of the reason for having him. But so there is a world where you could just sort of hold on, bench him for a couple of weeks. But I know personally, I was very grateful for the three assists in three games. Like, very grateful for that. But probably will move him on because I've got the transfers to do so. Do you have him?
No, I don't have him because I wildcarded in 10. So I went with Gordon instead.
That would be your suggestion.
Well, not against Arsenal this week. Probably not. For me, if I was to suggest, the only reason I think Gordon, even though the fixtures in the next couple are tough, is because Newcastle are very attacking in terms of creating chances and getting returns from that point of view. So it probably would be him. I before I got Gordon, I did have Douglas Luiz in my draft. Now, there are two more good games, but after that, it gets a bit harder. So it's not a long-term punt. But there is obviously an international break after Game Week 12. So we kind of have to keep that in mind as well. That maybe Neto might be back after the international break. So maybe you're looking at like only a two Game Week punt anyways. So,
well, that's it. So, and I think Wolves, I think it's not just Sheffield United. I think in three or four game weeks, they have a couple of back-to-back good ones. So if you could have a good fourth defender and maybe go 4-4-2.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think Cameron Archer, although no, Archer got benched against Arsenal, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because Sheffield United have okay games now, a couple of okay ones. But of course, the caveat to that is the Sheffield United and Archer. It might be the sort of benching that only happens away to the big clubs, maybe.
Probably.
I think when they need to win and they're at home, he's probably back in the lineup.
Yeah, that's true. But it's hard to tell whether he's actually going to be like going to be benched continuously or whether things will change. It's a bit
hard to say.
Yeah.
Unless Heckingbottom is one of those managers who helps us out in press conferences and says, yes, he's back in the lineup.
Yeah.
That would be appreciated. So, yeah, you could sort of get away with, well, keep Neto through his injury, start Archer at home to Wolves. Maybe next week you've got a good fourth defender, sort of.
Or even
survive
start
on
fourth,
that.
Yeah, or even if you have a fourth defender, probably start a fourth defender, I guess.
Yeah, you know, go 4-4-2, 3-4-3.
Yeah.
So that's also an option.
Okay. Now, with regards to Newcastle, now that Isak is injured, can we trust Wilson to be a decent option given his fitness? And where do you stand on like Newcastle defense for the upcoming fixtures? Do we hold them or do you look to move them out?
Eddie Howe said there's a high chance Isak won't be fit before November's international break. Yeah. So that's two matches. So Wilson, he could work as an extremely short-term option. Like if you have the luxury of being able to use a transfer with a plan to already get rid. Because if the regular starters, only Darwin has a better rate of minutes per chance.
Yep.
And Wilson actually beats him for minutes per goal. So, and there was also a stat, I think Sky Sports posted it, saying that since April, Callum Wilson's the top scorer.
Oh, okay.
18, I mean, he's like ahead of
him. Yeah, he's good when he's playing.
When he's playing, yes, yeah.
That's the thing.
And he's brilliant when he's playing, yeah. And he is going to play the next two. So it does work, I suppose. Yeah, it's but Newcastle face
Arsenal,
I think it's
yeah.
four of the supposed big six over the next half dozen. So that is that. But it's like what you're saying with Gordon, like maybe a Newcastle team where you can sort of ignore the fixtures and say. Because Gordon, for example, did score against Liverpool.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Stuff like that.
There is attack in returns, even though. Because even, what, three of the next big six, maybe? Potential big six. But, like, all of those are at home. So, Newcastle are generally good at home as well. So, I think it's...
And Newcastle beat... They beat Man United and Chelsea at home last season.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Lost to Arsenal. But, so, they are winnable games. The only thing is, as a team... It was noticeable against Dortmund and even more so against Wolves, but they look tired. They look a bit tired. Like watching it as a fan, it was that Wolves game. It felt really long.
So, do we think that rotation will play a part, or
I don't even think there's the bodies there to rotate. That's the thing because like other teams probably have a worse injury crisis at the moment, but Newcastle didn't really have the squad depth. To cope, so sort of Almiron, he's probably nailed because the only one who is competition on his side is Jacob Murphy. He's out for a while. Elliot Anderson's out for 8 weeks with a back injury, so combine that with Tonali, it's only really Joe Linton, Longstaff and Guimaraes really.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe Willock's back.
Does Willock play a part with like Gordon's situation in terms of rotation? Or do you think Willock could play on the other side?
Possibly, because with Gordon, one of the good things Newcastle did last season, there was this nice thing where Joe Linton and Willock, one of them would be like left winger, one of them would be left central midfielder, and they'd just rotate, and they'd just confuse the opposition by just being really fluid. Those two had a really, the two Joes had a good sort of interlinking relationship there. So he could return to that. Eddie Howe could return to that for one of these games. And then what happens with Gordon? The other thing about Gordon is if it gets to the stage where Newcastle need a third striker.
Yeah.
Because Wilson's injury record has been patchy as well. If the crisis gets worse, Gordon might be the forward. Because there isn't really a third name. I mean, someone like him or Joe Linton, who was originally bought as a forward.
Yeah.
You know, they could be the one to...
Yeah, because Gordon did play at striker spot or somewhat like when Calvert-Lewin was injured at Everton.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay, something to
that
kind of...
Could add to the, that could add to the appeal of Gordon.
Yeah.
Going back to the last question, but... Yeah, Wilson, it's if you've got the luxury of being able to have really short-term transfers or if there's maybe a wild card in a few weeks' time.
Yep.
Wilson, he's proven himself to be a great option. Two more goals at the weekend, penalties as well. And then as for defence, the trip to Bournemouth looks nice in game week 12, but the others don't, so it could be time to move them on. Especially with all the money wrapped up in Kieran Trippier. You know, if you have Burn, it feels like surely he's going to get that rest soon. You know, whether it's when Botman comes back or maybe Target gets a game. Lewis Hall, bless him, he's somewhere at the club. I don't know where. him and Livramento, like, quite a bit went on those two, and they're just not being
played as much.
They're just not, no matter how bad it gets, they're just not coming on. Now I know there's sort of an easing in period, but come on, like, at some point. So there is potential for Burn to be rotated, and there's a lot of money wrapped up in Trippier now. So the only thing is, not that many other defenses hold appeal either. You probably count them on one hand.
Yeah.
So if you sell a Newcastle defender, who
do you buy?
Who for?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's the one thing. When I was doing my wildcard in Game 18, I was like looking at the defenders. I'm like, who do I really want in here? There's like not many options. And like the ones I want is Cash, Gabriel, Tsimikas, and Trippier, probably. And that's it. And I was like, everything else is like very low upside players.
Yeah, so you're possibly a Palace defender, maybe. And yeah, those fixtures, maybe. But yeah, even beyond that, it's like,
there aren't that many.
Just not, like, I'm not going on the Man City defense again. Like, that is being a problem. That never works out. There's not many defenses out there to invest in, really.
Yep, fair enough. Okay, Arsenal. They won 5-0 with Nketiah getting a hat-trick. Now, how do you see the game against Newcastle going, though?
Yeah, I'd probably back Arsenal to win that, because I just remember last season, Arsenal came to St. James's Park and won 2-0, and it was a time when confidence was really high in Newcastle, and we, you know, barely lost all season, and Arsenal just came and they pulled off a comfortable win, and you think, yeah, they could probably do that again, because Arsenal have got better, Newcastle look a bit tired. So yeah, I can see them grabbing the win. It's a bit good to see Nketiah grab a hat-trick. I know Praz got Nketiah. When he posted that team beforehand, it was like, yeah, I could totally see that, because I did have a thought last week of, instead of getting Saka in to cover Arsenal, because losing Maddison, it was sort of a real shame. So I was thinking, well, could get Nketiah to cover Arsenal instead and keep Maddison, go 3-4-3, get rid of Neto. And for various reasons, that looks a good idea now.
Yeah.
Because the hat-trick, Neto was injured. But no, hesitated. Went for Saka instead. The game against Newcastle going well. You'd expect Gabriel and Odegaard back in the lineup.
Yeah, probably.
Jesus will still be injured. So the lineup probably picks itself. I'd probably see Arsenal winning.
Is it
possibly 2-0?
Ooh, okay. Because I want, like, people were thinking of benching Gabriel.
No. Well,
depends on who you have, I guess.
Sometimes when it's your own club, you sort of maybe see them in an overly harsh light.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I just remember last season, like, the two games were 0-0 and 2-0. So, like, Arsenal, even when Newcastle finished fourth last season, like, Arsenal denied them a goal at all, like, completely denied them a goal. So you think, I've seen it happen twice last season, so it's absolutely doable this time as well.
It might be a tough game, because we've seen Arsenal, when they go against like these big teams, they're very pragmatic as well in terms of how they approach the game. They might try to keep it tight. Interesting. I think this is where, I guess, if depending on people who, like, what defenders they have, you either start Gabriel or bench. Because for me, I have like I've got Tsimikas, I've got Trippier as well, and Matty Cash. Something in that will probably be my back three, and Gabriel on the bench. That's what I'm thinking for the moment.
But do you think, it's the choice between Trippier's attacking points.
Yeah, that's
points.
I'd probably go for Trippier's attacking points, because even if it ends up as a 0-0, the chances are Trippier ends up on bonus higher than Gabriel. That's the thing. So, okay. One to kind of wait and see how things go.
Yeah, if it's Trippier, that makes sense. But if it was like Cher or Burn,
then it's different.
Play Gabriel over them, personally.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Spurs beat Crystal Palace 2-1. Where do you stand on the Spurs attacking assets? Because there's a lot of talk about eventually moving them out for Arsenal assets, but Arsenal assets aren't really firing on all cylinders. So would you continue to keep the likes of Sané and Madison, even with the tougher fixtures upcoming? And what about the defensive players? Do we sell them?
Yeah, it's... Well, as I say, selling Madison was a reluctant sale because he's done no wrong. As an owner, he's doing it consistently. Maybe it's more assists than goals, but that's fine. I'm not going to complain at that. And certainly Son, I'd say Son's fixture proof because he's a midfielder playing up front for the sort of league leaders, and so I'd keep Son regardless of tougher fixtures. But then yeah, you're thinking, well, do you really use two valuable attacking spots on Spurs' tough fixtures? Okay, maybe. Maybe that's why Madison goes, but there's nothing wrong with him either. If there were other fires to put out in your team, keeping Son and Madison isn't a problem. It's like it's a luxury. Like if you can, if everything else is fine and you've got a couple of transfers, okay, it makes sense to sell one of them. But keeping both of them is there's no problem with that either. What about the defensive players? Well, it was really frustrating to see Udogie drop in price last night because it's so early in the week.
Yes.
It's just like, how are you guys, man? Just can we wait till Thursday, Friday?
Yeah.
Don't commit to anything yet. And that's taken him down. That's really restricted the options, actually. Yeah, I probably would get rid of the defensive options. The defense has done better than expected because I think when we heard about Ange Ball and all that lot in the summer, and it sounded like it was
attacking but leaving spaces at the back.
Yeah, attack. You know, we'll outscore the opposition, sort of thing. And they've kept a solid number of clean sheets. They were on the verge of cracking another one out until that late Jordan Ayew goal. Yeah. So the overachieved, like they've done better than expected so far, but yeah, maybe it could be a time to get off the defender. Yeah,
fair enough. I think the fixtures coming up are tough ones where you probably look to move them out in that specific situation. Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, I think the attack is just too good to kind of like, I mean, like we're talking about other options, right? These guys are already on form and playing at this point. Like, so who would you actually go for, like, when you have unformed players at the moment?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You if you've got both of them, you've got the privilege of having two of the league's best midfielders in your team.
Yep, that's it.
Already.
True. And they play one game a week. So there's not much rotation as well, compared to, like, all the Brighton, West Ham, Arsenal, but talking about rotation, Newcastle, we're talking about rotation. So, yeah, fair enough.
Absolutely, that's huge. I think a lot of the reason why Newcastle got fourth last season was because there was no Europe involved. It does play a big role. So yeah, Spurs look really good.
Yep,
really good right now.
Okay, now captaincy this week. Another week where we might have a Haaland versus Salah question. Is there anyone apart from those two, or is it just those two for this week mainly?
Well, do we have a players with good fixtures, but because Haaland and Salah are that good, it's going against one of them is going to be hard. So going against both of them is
even more of a pain.
Even tougher. It's to have Haaland face Bournemouth in the same week that Salah faces Luton.
Who do you give the armband to?
I don't know. Well, it's probably Haaland because of that. What I was saying earlier about the effective owners, the sort of playing the safe.
Yeah.
In the safe way, I think this if it's more of a 50-50 split between them this week, that means Haaland's EO is going to be quite a bit over 100.
Yeah,
I really don't want to be cheering against Haaland against Bournemouth. So I know some managers really don't like that way of playing, and I do get that. But thinking about it another way, it's Haaland at home to Bournemouth.
Yes, so he's home as well. That's the thing that adds to it.
Regardless of numbers, it's just a brilliant fixture. Yeah. And I think it'll be him. But Salah's done nothing wrong either. As you say, he might have been a little bit... he was a bit lucky on Sunday, in fairness. But beyond before that, it was two double-digit hauls. That's a back. So... I'm just going to put the captaincy on Haaland and be thankful that I have both of them.
Yeah,
but
fair
a
enough.
Few weeks ago, it was a Salah-less team and it wasn't feeling great.
Yeah, fair enough. That's the thing. But this week, I mean, it's like for the last 3 weeks, I've put the armor on Son, Haaland, and then Salah. And I've got it wrong all three times. Now I'm hoping that this week will be the one that I actually get it right, but we'll see.
Same, absolutely. Backed Son for the early kickoff.
Yeah.
Luton,
yeah,
that didn't work. Haaland last week just scored once against Brighton, yeah, and then this time Salah
scored once while Haaland did that repeat.
It's horrible,
yeah,
to get it wrong.
That's
but funny. Again, at least the players are there. At least it'd be worse if you couldn't captain them and just couldn't have them at all. I know there's a lot out there, as we're saying, without Haaland, and that's brave. That's really brave. I mean, second in Ballon d'Or last night.
Yeah, exactly.
Had an outstanding year. It was a chance to look back at his 2023 and just remind yourself that his goal rates have been freakish.
Yeah, it's still pretty good, to be honest. His goal rate. Yeah, I think we'll see. I'm probably going to go Haaland as well, because like City are at home. They're better at home compared to away as well. And again, like you mentioned, EO, at times you kind of have to play it. But me personally, I think he's still probably the better captaincy option this week. EO, even without EO, probably.
Yeah, like if you used EO as a reason to captain Haaland in a tough game versus Salah in an easier game.
Yeah, that's a different, yeah.
Criticism there would be valid, but when they both have a great game, well, it's...
That's fair enough.
It's a good move, I think.
Yep. Cool. That's basically it. Thank you for your time today. Do you have anything to plug?
We have Fantasy Football Scout. We've got that Neto piece out, as mentioned earlier. We're just going to sort of do the usual stuff this week. There's going to be a big numbers piece going out as well. We also have Fantasy Football Community, which is sort of part of our network. Spend a bit of time on that, sort of not just covering FPL, but it's quite a big website for Champions League fantasy and sort of other ones around the world, Serie A, Bundesliga. Just that, really. And we do a podcast every week there as well.
Awesome. Then you can also find me, Football Chatbox, on YouTube, where I do weekly videos and deadline streams. That's it for this week. Scout the Game Week. We'll be back after Game Week 11 and looking ahead to Game Week 12, Green Aerosol.